Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Here are the announcements today for September 15th. If you would like to give today, there is an offering box that you can put your tithes in. Another way to give is through e-transfers with the church's email address at mournvillealliance@shaw.ca. Our children's nursery from infant to 3 years old will be dismissed after the singing time this morning. Our Sunday school children will be in the service, and we have coloring papers for them in the back. Our Sunday school will start again next Sunday on the 22nd. We're asking for people to sign up at the Welcome Center to help us provide Sunday school for our children. Some of the home groups that will be running this fall are the Foundations course, the Book of John, Practicing the Way, and our men's and ladies groups. These are listed on the church webpage, and there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Our next youth group event will be on Saturday, October 19th. We're looking for helpers with this ministry. If you would like to help, please contact the church office. Our next soup and pie will be October 6th after church. Put it on your calendar. The last Sunday of every month, we want to create more space for prayer times. If you want to just come to find space for prayer and want someone to pray with you, consider coming from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the church starting Sunday, September 29th. If you would like prayer today, there will be people stationed in the back corner that will pray for you. Thank you.
If you're comfortable, please stand and we'll continue to worship the Lord in song.
You're the God of the city, you're the King of His people, you're the Lord of this nation. Still to be done in this city. God has overcome.
a drink after that one.
Generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all who have gone before us and all who will believe sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your greatest, your name stands above them all.
This time you can greet a few people and come back and we'll carry on for their service. I never know if I should go. I never know if I should go or just stay put. It was sounding great.
Good morning. Today, I'm going to start with some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first?
It's bad.
You are such an optimistic crowd. They want to hear the bad news. I actually have two. Someone just told me the Mournville colony is burning right now. And so we're going to be praying for them in the service. Now, the second one, the other bad news, is much lighter than the first one. Carrie and I, both of our accounts got hacked this last few days. So if you tried to write us, we cannot get in. And so if you get an email from me asking for money, it's not me. But if you get an email asking for chocolate, that one's me. I cannot control what's happening behind me. So the Tuesday newsletter that gets sent out, it'll have a new email address for me and for Carrie. If you'll write us, that would be helpful, and then we'll include you in our list. So that just kind of happened this last week. The good news. Evelyn Moncroft, she might be our oldest member. She's 93. This last week, we had the opportunity to go into her home and baptize her. But she had cancer surgery on Friday, and it was very dangerous, and they didn't know how it would play out. But she's come through the cancer surgery and is doing really well. So we're just so grateful. This morning, we're going to use Psalm 33 to guide our prayers. Let's pray. In adoration, Psalm 33, 6 to 8, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the seas its boundaries and locked the oceans in their vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. This Creator God is so infinitely above us, yet longs to be intimately connected with us. Let us worship him as we stand in awe of all of his wonders, recognizing his greatness and perfection. Confession, verse 16, 17. Best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory for all of its strength. It can't save you. What are the things that we look to instead of God to save us, to protect us from harm or hardship? Is it our jobs, money, intelligence, popularity, appearance, another person? In confession, we come and cast down the idols that we've made in our lives, idols that have taken the central place that Christ would have in our hearts. Thanksgiving. The psalmist says in verse 1 to 3, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It's fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies. Make music for him. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. It's the Lord who fills us with joy, regardless of what is happening around us. Despite how things may look, we can trust him. Trust in his goodness. Trust in his immense love for us. Thank him for the many ways that you've seen his goodness and love this week. Supplication. The psalm ends in verse 20-22 with these words. We put our hope in the Lord. He's our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. God is the one we go to for hope and help and shelter. Bring your requests before him, confident even now his unfailing love surrounds you. We pray for the colony. We pray first of all for the safety of everyone's life. And then for those who are dealing with the fire, we pray for your protection and grace. In the midst of this, bring these who have lost things a peace that passes understanding. For Darlene's health, for Brad and Terry Lynn's family, for Michaela and Oliver, Judith and Danny, Will and Martha, for David, for Michael, and Tavia and their family, Corrine and Isaac, Roman and Lori, Ben and Marge, Matthew and Trina, for Vicky and Donald, for Lou and Harold, for Kim and Sheldon, for Patrick and Morgan and Scotland, for Roland and Carolyn, for Rowena's brother, and some of the places around the world, the Bahamas, Bangladesh, Israel, Lebanon, Iran, Ukraine. And then for the countries of Canada and the United States, God, we pray for healing in our land. God, we bring to you all the unspoken requests, the things that are too weighty for us to carry. Come and do for us what only you can. As a community of Jesus followers that's growing together in faith, hope, and love, let us pray together as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're now going to have this morning's scripture reading. I'm going to break something yet. I don't know if I can get it to go down. I do have a gift that way.
I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings, because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God proposed in all of this was to use the, our purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Amen.
If you're comfortable, please stand, and we're going to worship the Lord in song as we prepare our hearts for the message.
I am not very mechanical. That's why I have two older brothers and three older sisters. They take care of those things. Does anybody here like a good mystery? What makes a good mystery? The storyline needs to have enough twists and turns so it makes it difficult to guess the outcome. Some people have even written books that allow you to have multiple endings by making decisions for the characters in the storyline. But not all mysteries have happy endings. I read recently a news article where they solved a murder in Chicago that happened in 1966, 58 years ago. I won't ask if you were born then. A husband came home in the morning from night shift, and his wife, who was 18 years old, was murdered. And the two-month-old baby was unharmed. At the time period, police brought different suspects in, but no one was ever charged. But recently, through DNA testing, with the evidence of the clothes that they had held onto from 1966, they arrested a 79-year-old man named James Barber, who had been one of the early suspects. He was a family friend and even was a pallbearer at Karen Schneider's funeral. Even then, there were suspicions because of cuts on his arms, but police did not have enough evidence to hold him. Things may be hidden from us for a time period, but things are never hidden from God. Let's pray. God, we're grateful that you know all about our lives. Even though we know this, we can become unnerved because we don't feel we're in control. Help us to trust you in the midst of our unbelief. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Daniel chapter 2. It'll go from verse 1 to verse 49. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to explain it. Judah has been conquered by the Babylonians, and they've been carried off into captivity. This is the first deportation with Daniel. In the future, there'll be a second exodus, which happens in Ezekiel's time. And finally, there'll be a third when the Babylonians will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. The royalty from conquered nations were sometimes integrated into the king's palace to serve and bring an infusion of brain gain. You've probably heard of brain loss, but this is brain gain. Sometimes when you take the smartest and the brightest from another nation, there's less of a chance of a rebellion. And it might placate the Jewish exiles that some of their own people are within the walls of the Babylonian leadership and possibly influential. After 3 years of training, there were four at the top of the class from all of Judah. These four were given new names once entering the palace: Daniel, Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God's favor was upon their lives because they honored him in all they did. Their reliance and trust in God allowed him to work through their lives and positively influence the foreign nation in which they were subject. Because today's text in Daniel is lengthy, I'll try and highlight key verses as I go through Daniel chapter 2. Have you ever had a disturbing dream? And after waking up, you wonder, did that mean something? Or was it the pepperoni on last night's pizza? Today's passage starts out with the king of the most powerful nation in the world having a dream. And he wants some answers, like right now. But what is unusual about King Nebuchadnezzar's demands is that he doesn't tell anyone the dream, yet he wants it interpreted. It's like your boss coming up to you at work and saying, I've got a problem, and I want you to solve it. I'm not going to tell you what the problem is. And by the way, if you don't have the answer by the end of the day, you're fired. And you think you have a challenging boss. Daniel 2:2. The king calls the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and Chaldeans. In the ancient Far East, the art of divination and reading omens was very common. This was the primary way in which the gods would reveal their will in relationship to decision-making, but especially in times of war. The wise men or enchanter would be trained how to interpret such things as dreams. But the reference books only helped them interpret dreams that were told by the person having the dream. So in verse 3, when the king relays that he's had a disturbing dream, the wise men are not alarmed. They've been trained to do this. As far as they're concerned, the king might as well put up his feet because they will have this perplexing situation resolved in no time. But here's where the story takes a twist. In Daniel 2:5, the king declares publicly, if they don't interpret this dream without any hints, they'll be torn from limb to limb and all their possessions will be destroyed. You can imagine the scene from Alice in Wonderland with the Queen of Hearts yelling off with their heads. Daniel 2:7, the enchanters ask a second time for the king to tell them the dream. But instead the king accuses them in verse 8 of stalling for time because they know their heads are on the line. So in verse 9, the king says, tell me the dream and then I'll know if you can interpret correctly. Daniel 2:10, the magicians respond by saying, no one can reveal what the king demands. And no king has ever asked such a thing of his servants, no matter how great the kingdom. No one can reveal this to the king except for the gods, but they do not dwell among people. When Nebuchadnezzar hears the response of verse 12, he goes wild. He goes into a rage and he demands that all the wise men in Babylon be executed. Remember the cushy job that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got when everyone else was working under the hot sun? Well, the jig is up, and so are their lives. Sometimes the position we want, desire, covet, seems great until it isn't. You're a firefighter, and then there's a fire. You're a teacher, and then the students show up. You're a parent, and then the new baby comes home from the hospital, and you're on call 24/7. The words enchanter, magician, wise men, Chaldean are mentioned 20 times in Daniel chapter 2. But in reality, they're anything but wise when it comes to the mysteries of God. Daniel 2:13, it says that those who were to carry out the slaughter, more than likely the royal guard, began searching for Daniel and his companions. Oh yes, these young men from Judah who serve the one true God will be killed. Verse 15, as Arioch, who was the king's chief executioner, how would you like that on your resume for your previous job? Chief executioner. Daniel asks, why was the king in such a hurry to kill all the wise men? Remember, the kingdom invested 3 years in training all these guys just to turn around and fire them permanent-like. Once Daniel hears all the facts in verse 16 to 18, he asks for more time for the king, and he asks his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to seek God for mercy. Pray, pray, pray. It's interesting to note that Daniel not only asks for his friends to be spared, but all the wise men throughout the country. Daniel was not only concerned about saving his own skin and that of his friends, but he was looking big picture. The words dream, vision, interpretation, and mystery are used over 30 times in Daniel chapter 2. But there's only one who is the answer to the king's questions. Who is in control? It's God and God alone. He is the one who's given the dream, and it's him alone who can explain the dream. Daniel 1:17, it foreshadows how this riddle will be solved. It says Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. Daniel 2:19, the mysteries revealed to Daniel through a vision in the night. Has God ever spoken to you at night through a vision or a dream? He still does this. Daniel begins praising God in verse 22, and he says, he reveals the deep at the hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells within him. Daniel then asks for an audience with the king in verse 25, and Arioch, the chief executioner, rushed them quickly before the king, declaring there's one who could solve the mystery. So in verse 27 and 28, Daniel underlines the fact that no wise men, enchanters, magicians could show the king the mystery, but only the God who's in heaven. He goes on to say in Daniel 2:30, the only reason I've understood is not because I'm any wiser than any of these others, but that God revealed it to me so I could explain it to you. Now remember, the king has not disclosed to anyone the contents of the dream. But Daniel tells him what he saw and then what it means. In the next 15 verses, Daniel tells of a statue that's made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. The head, gold, represents the kingdom of Babylon. The arms and chest of silver, the Mede-Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of bronze, the Greek, and the legs of iron and clay, the Roman Empire. Some scholars and historians would have the order a little different. The focus of the dream is not so much predictive in indicating which nation is represented by which part of the statue, but to affirm that God is sovereign, that God alone is sovereign, and he is in control, despite the present circumstances we might find ourselves in. In Daniel 2:34, there's a stone that is not cut by human hands that strikes the great statue and breaks the whole thing into little pieces until there was not a trace of the statue. And then in verse 35, the rock becomes a great mountain which fills the whole earth. This rock is the kingdom of God. What is the king's response? He declares in verse 47 that Daniel's God is the God of all gods and the Lord of all kings and the revealer of all mysteries. As a result, Daniel is made chief prefector and all the wise men and of all the wise men, and then helps his friends move into prominent positions. William Phillips. He taught English literature at Yale for 41 years, retired in 1933. Marking an examination paper shortly before Christmas one year, Phelps came across a note that said, "God only knows the answer to this question. Merry Christmas." Phelps returned the paper with this note, "God gets an A, you get an F. Happy New Year." Some tests only God knows the answers for. Gordon Smith, in his book Wisdom of Babylon, says, "We only witness the kingdom. We don't bring the kingdom. The Christianity of the future will be mystical. How we pray will shape how we believe." What happens in our world when nations rise up and create fear, confusion, and worry with their threats and demands and armies? For many, it can bring sleepless nights, upset about how it will change our lives. And sometimes there are deep-reaching impacts, like in war and all the brokenness on human lives. The story in Daniel reminds us that within the big picture, all we see is not all there is to see. There's a God in the universe that cares and ultimately will direct the play on the stage. The most important aspect of the story in Daniel chapter 2 is not the interpretation of the dream. Rather, the focus remains on God, who gave Daniel the understanding of the mystery. The astrologers and diviners failed, where the man of God succeeded. Why? The wise men were right. What had been asked of them was humanly impossible. In Luke 18:24-27, Jesus was telling his disciples how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. His disciples respond by saying, "Then who in the world could be saved?" And Jesus replied, What is impossible for people is possible for God." Why it was possible for Daniel was that he was directly connected to God, and these answers could only come from the God of the universe. It is only God's wisdom that can reveal the mysteries in life. How do we respond to the uncertainty in our lives and that of the people that we're in daily contact with? God's wisdom was not only available to Daniel, but we can also access this deep well of hope and peace. One of the first things Daniel did when his life was on the line was to go to his three friends and to pray to the God of heaven and earth. Have you ever noticed that when you're in a difficult situation, faced with an impossible situation, with a desperate situation, it changes how we pray. We need a miracle. We need the hand of God to move on our behalf. It is to Him, our loving Heavenly Father, we run to. Once God speaks to Daniel in a dream, what does he do? Does he wake up his friends in the middle of the night? No. Does he go running into the king's palace in his pajamas? No. Daniel worships and blesses God. He prays back the attributes and character and the mystery of God, who is the revealer of all things. Do we spend time in God's presence, telling Him how much we love Him and how we are thankful for Him? It is to Him we go into our need, in our pain, in our disappointment, and He is the lifter of our heads, especially when things are hard. Daniel's world was big enough that he didn't just care about the people who were like him, but he cared equally for those other wise men, that their lives would be spared too. Do we care about people who are not just like us, but equally the ones that are completely different from us? Those who do not follow Jesus. Those who have a different ethnic background from us. Those who have a different economic standing than us. We know that God loves them, so why don't we love them? If you love a good mystery, it helps to get acquainted with the author who knows the ending. And that, of course, is God. It's amazing the fascination with the occult. Do you know why people are drawn into the occult? It's because they're hoping to control the future. They want some kind of insight, some kind of knowledge that's going to bring comfort to their troubled hearts. But that's the last place they're going to find the true answer. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Even in the most difficult situations, God is still sovereign, and His kingdom will prevail. I'll end with the final words from the Bible Project. The statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream are all the world kingdoms that bring violence. But one day, God's kingdom will come and humble the worldly kingdoms. God's kingdom will fill the world with healing and justice. Let's pray. God, all the mysteries in life can only be answered by You. Even though things are hidden in the dark, You are the light. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we want to commit ourselves to You completely. We freely choose to surrender to You, God, the God who loves us, the God who cares about us, the God who knows us best. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
Lord of all creation, exceed. You are holy, holy, precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, hold me, hold me. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, 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 holy.
Amen. You may be seated.
I have a couple announcements. The benediction, we'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. There's sign-up sheets again for the different home groups that are running. For ARC Sunday School, we need teachers. Next Sunday, ARC Sunday School will begin running, so when the nursery kids are dismissed, the ARC Sunday School kids will be dismissed as well. After church today, if you want prayer for anything, there'll be someone in the back corner. You heard me announce that new thing we're going to try. Once a month, the last Sunday of every month, going from 7 to 8:30. And what it is we just want to create space. We want to create space if you want some place to come and pray. We want to create space if you actually want prayer for something. And so we're going to try doing this and see how it goes. And so the last Sunday of every month from 7 to 8:30, the church will be open that you can come and pray. For those who have written Carrie and Lewis in the last 3 days, we're not ignoring you. In the newsletter, when it comes out this week, it'll have new email addresses for both of us, and so we'd love it if you'd write us. Have you ever had anyone that wanted to destroy you if they could? I have, when I was 23 years old, and both my brothers have. Now, it could be a family thing, I don't know. But my oldest brother maintains oil wells, and he tells me this story. And there's a particular guy that just hates him, and he's trying to make him lose contracts. It's just crazy. And so one day, one of the owners of these sites talked to my brother and said, Brian, he said, you just need to come to the realization that everybody's not going to like you. Just get over it. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that individuals may try to destroy us. Nations may try to destroy us. But where our comfort lies is with God. He is the one that holds us in the palm of his hand, and nothing can get to us as he protects us. Amen.
Please stand.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God.